Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. It is a great privilege to be here. The song we were just singing, we were singing about an anchor in the storm of life. And how many times does your life feel like you're in a storm? Is this not reality? Or is it just me? No. It is. This is reality. The storm. And you feel yourself in a storm. And you, in the storm, is when you understand the need for an anchor. When the water is calm and the wind is calm, you aren't thinking about an anchor. But when the wind is blowing and the waves are high and scary and you're not sure if you're going to make it and you wonder what is going to happen next, this is when you need an anchor. This is when you need an anchor that you know is sure. And just so many good words in this song. A sure anchor. A cable, like Brother Arthur was sharing about, that's going to the anchor, from you to the anchor. You can't see the anchor. You can't, the waves is what you see. But down in there is an anchor. And you have a cable that you trust in. You have a faith in a cable that is connected to the anchor. And when you're latched onto this cable, the waves don't look so big. You know you have something solid. It's holding on. It's there. It's not going to let you down. The next wave will not take you because you have a cable, an anchor. You have a faith that is anchored in Jesus, and you know he's not going to move on you. You know when the big wave is coming, you see it coming, you know it's going to hold. You're not questioning, is my anchor going to hold? You know he's going to hold on to you. I was just blessed that we sang that song. I wanted to look at a saving faith this morning. And when we sang that song, it was a song that was on my heart. And I believe God moved Brother Arthur to lead that song this morning. A saving faith. If you look up the word faith in the Bible, it's found 247 times in the King James Version. It's only mentioned two times in the Old Testament, 245 times in the New. And why is that? Because I believe in the Old Testament, they were living with a law that demanded obedience. In the New Testament, Jesus comes. We see Jesus coming, and all of a sudden, we're talking about faith. All of a sudden, you see faith in the New Testament, and it's talking about faith. Jesus talked about faith. And I believe the difference is the relationship with Jesus produces obedience. The law demanded obedience. I believe in the New Testament, it's a faith in Jesus that produces obedience. You can turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Here in Hebrews 3, we want to read 3 starting verse 12 and Hebrews 4. And it was talking here in chapter 3 about Moses, about the children of Israel going through the wilderness or coming from Egypt, going to the promised land, and then it says that they could not enter because of unbelief. And I believe this, there's many parallels we see from the life of the children of Israel to our life today. We also, are we not looking for a promised land? Heaven is a promised land. It's a promise. And we look forward to it. And here he's paralleling that and saying unbelief is what kept them from entering the promised land. So that's a little backdrop of where we're starting in Hebrews 3:12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. We see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Chapter 4, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day on this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Okay, let's go down to 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Then it talks about Jesus being our high priest, how he understands us. Okay, when we look at the word faith, to persuade, to draw towards anything, to believe, to obey. And you think about faith in God, it's believing him, knowing him, believing that he is what he says. Justifying or saving faith is the assent of the mind to the truth of divine revelation on the authority of God's testimony, accompanied with a cordial assent of the will or approbation of the heart, an entire confidence or trust in God's character and declarations, and in the character and doctrines of Christ, with an unreserved surrender of the will to his guidance and dependence on his merits for salvation. In other words, that firm belief of God's testimony and of the truth of the gospel, which influences the will and leads to an entire reliance on Christ for salvation. An entire reliance on Christ for salvation. I like how Hebrews 11 verse 1 said, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The substance of things hoped for. A hope is something that is, you're still looking for it, right? It's out ahead. You're hoping for something. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance is something you can hold, right? It's something solid for what, but you're looking out there. But you know it's real. The evidence of things not seen. Evidence is proof. It's evidence is something you're saying, this explains it clearly. Evidence of things not seen. Okay, he brought out here how it was their unbelief was why they couldn't go in, right? So, this thing of faith, to me, it shows that the opposite of faith is disobedience, or unbelief is the opposite of faith. We don't really think of obedience being faith, but faith brings us to obedience. We will obey when we have faith, when we believe God. So, an opposite of faith could be disobedience or unbelief. And we talked about how they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now let's look at James chapter 2. Verse 14. And here he says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble.'" So here we see What I'm trying to say is how faith, just believing that there's a God, is not enough. Do we not all believe that God is God, that he created the earth, he made us, we believe, you know, we would say we believe that he loves us, right? If somebody said, "Does God love you?" We say, "Yep, we believe that." But faith is more than just acknowledging God. It's more than just saying, "I believe in God." It says here how the devils, they believe there's a God. So I believe that faith, true faith, is faith that produces action. Believing and accepting God's love, his commandments, his promises. When God says something, do we believe it? Do we take that and say, Yes, I will accept that. When God says he cares for you and he wants to bear your burden, do I believe that to the point that I'm willing to hand the burden over to God? See, there's such a difference in just knowing about God, acknowledging God, or really believing him, to where it brings action from my heart. We probably all heard of that story. I know Lloyd Detweiler used to tell it, of the tightrope walker and the man with the wheelbarrow. He'd go across the wheelbarrow, and everybody's like, yeah, we really believe you can do this. But then when it's time for you to get in the wheelbarrow, now we see he really believes. But no, that's how it is in our hearts. Do I believe God? Do I trust him? Do I have faith in him when I'm in the middle of the storm? When I'm in that hard thing and it seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel? And yeah, I just see that with Abraham, you know, that he was walking up the mountain and it, you know, we think he was a big, strong man of faith, but I believe he went up the mountain with trembling feet. And that was very difficult to do, but he says he got up and he obeyed God. He believed God. He believed that God could redeem the situation. For me, I remember there was a time when in a job I was working in that I got very discouraged. I was in a place where I got very discouraged and I couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I was in my teens and the man I was working with was difficult. And to me, looking at that situation, it just seemed like, how am I ever going to get out of here? How are we ever going to, what's going to end this cycle? But in that hard time, God helped me to turn my eyes to him. And I remember distinctly asking God to please get me out of this situation. And he did. You know, when you're in the middle of it, it's hard to see. Sometimes it's hard to see. But God's still loving you. How does faith begin? Psalms 111 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. I believe faith can begin as a child. So as parents, are we showing our children God? Are we pointing up to the stars and showing them who made the stars? You can do so much good for them. Show them God. Saving faith comes when we repent of sin and believe on Jesus and believe that his blood has paid for our sin and his resurrection gives us power over sin. We accept the gift. He didn't need to love us. He chose to love us. He chose to come and give himself to redeem us. We need to read the Bible. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We need to read the Bible. We need to listen to the Bible. We need to hear it and take it into our heart and believe it. When God says something, we need to believe it. I believe our faith continues to grow. The more we see of God's greatness, the more we trust him. The more we surrender to Jesus and walk with him, the more we know him. It's a relationship, right, John? It's a relationship. You walk with him, and you ask him to be a part of your day, every day. And we all have different jobs. We all have different responsibilities. And we need God to be part of our day, to help us through our work, through all the things that we face in life. Why do we call it saving faith? Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So here it tells us it's impossible to please him without faith. Like we said, do I trust God when he says in like 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you? Do I believe he cares for me? But yet I have some temptation or pain or a hurt from the past. Do I believe God cares for me? Maybe it's a very hard thing you're dealing with today. And do I believe that he cares for me? Did we ever say, or did we ever hear others say, how can a good God allow bad things to happen? Why do hard things happen to me? One thing that helps, may help you understand, or helps me to understand it, is the sunshine. When the sun is shining, when a storm comes, we cannot see the sunshine. It looks gray and cloudy, but is the sun shining? We would all say, yes, it is. Above the storm, the sun is shining. We would agree with that. But yet, when I am in my life and I face a hard time and this struggle, and I'm in the struggle and I have a hard time believing that God's still up there and he's still loving me and he still cares for me and he still provided everything for me, we have a hard time to accept that. But I believe faith, like we talked about, this anchor, is what we're anchored in Jesus. And in that hard time, in that storm, even though we can't see him, we are anchored fast to him. For some of us, we all have these hard things. We all have things that, but they're different. And Brother Ed shared how that, you know, with the children's ministry. That's something I didn't experience, but it was an experience. It was a hard thing for Ed to go through. He shared that. And God cares about that. He cares about the boys that Ed cares about. And for the mother who's caring for her children, there's some days you feel like you don't have enough to reach. God cares about that. For a father who feels the responsibility of raising his children, of providing for his family, of being a good husband, the burden is different, but God cares. And do I reach out through faith and anchor in Jesus, no matter what it is that I face? just seems that in the day we live in, there's so much questioning of what is real. I've heard that, you know, from young people saying, you know, well, which end is up? What's real? It's like we live in a world where change, it seems everything is changing. So in this, when we face this, let us make sure that we are not anchored in the things of this world. If we're loving the things of this world, if that's what we're anchored in, and then it changes, it's very likely that we'll be lost, we'll be taken down, because if our anchor is in the things of this world, because these things are all perishing, they're going away. John talks about that, the love of the world and all the things. He says it's passing away. What will last is those who are abiding in God, their anchors in God. In Revelation, it talks about the new heaven and the new earth, and it talks about all the beautiful things God has prepared for those who love him, who know him, who are anchored in him. And he says he wants to freely bless. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Then he says, but the cowardly and unbelieving, abominable and murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Our saving faith must be anchored in God. And that faith will carry us through to the end, through the storm. Let's make sure that our anchor is in Jesus and not in the things of this world. Because that is the only way we will be able to experience the blessing he has for us in the end. God bless you.